pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Friday morning. 251-340-1060 if you would like to weigh in on anything we are discussing. Still to come on the program, News Talk 93.1's with April Marie Fogle. About a half hour from now, former State Senator Rusty Glover, running for state auditor, will be with us at 11 o'clock hour, and we will wrap it up with our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. That's also an 11 o'clock hour, so you make sure you stick around for all of that. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on our next guest. He represents the 6th Congressional District here at Alabama. You hear him here sometimes on these airways. Congressman Gary Palmer on with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm surviving, as they say, but it's a busy time in Alabama politics. I don't know if you've been keeping track here lately, but there's a lot going on. So you know, it's just like you're always kind of running. It's like running on a log on a moving stream or something.
Yeah, well, I've been a little preoccupied in D.C. With the border, with Secretary Xavier Becerra, and then yesterday with Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm. Got a little intense yesterday.
The League of Extraordinary Ladies and Gentlemen there, I'm sure. Let's kick it off here. Back from the border, I'm bracing myself because I'm pretty sure that you're going to tell us what we already know, but it's probably something you see it in firsthand, and it leaves a lasting memory. Tell us a little bit about your trip down there.
It's heartbreaking. We arrived at the border maybe minutes after they recovered the body of Specialist Bishop Evans, and we had went on the river craft to go up the river. To the point where he had actually gone into the water to try to rescue someone who we now think was involved in smuggling drugs. And he never got to the individual. He took off his body armor and went in the water, and the currents were so strong, it sucked him under immediately. When we returned ashore and were meeting with the Border Patrol, the top guy with the Border Patrol down there, and they're just exhausted, Jeff. They're emotionally drained. They're physically drained. I was asking them if we could provide aerostats and drones. Would that be a force multiplier that would help them? And the guy almost came out of his boots. Absolutely. And then I saw a group of five or six guardsmen, maybe 100 yards away from everybody else, and I went down to talk to them, and Specialist Evans was in their unit, and they were visibly emotional to the point that I told their commanding general that he needed to pull those men together to talk with them. But the worst thing was we had a meeting with ranchers and small business owners and farmers, and there was one guy there, Jeff. I bet he was 6'4", maybe 280, 300 pounds. He's a big guy, and he wept. He lives 25 miles from the border, but he said he's thankful that his kids are in college, and that at night he and his wife don't want to turn the lights on in the house because of this constant stream of people that have evaded the Border Patrol. And then a rancher has a 10-year-old son and a 16-year-old daughter. He's put a fence around his house and literally gotten a couple of attack dogs. And when his daughter goes out, she carries a handgun. They found a body there. I had breakfast with a guy who has a ranch on the border. They found 14 bodies on his ranch. What's happening at the border is destroying the lives of ranchers and farmers who have been there for generations. And it is a human tragedy that most the American public is for the most part unaware of. And this, our government is facilitating that.
And so much of it is, you know, the way the mainstream media, they will probably at least acknowledge that there's a lot of people coming across, but we should welcome them with open arms or whatever their views on immigration and illegal immigration and people coming here. But the reality is, it's much more nefarious than that. It's human trafficking. It's drugs. It is these cartels that kind of run the south side of the border, that there is such a violent side of this that doesn't get reported.
The cartels are getting people across the border, and they're making $1 billion, that's with a B, $1 billion per month on trafficking people across the border. And the head of the Border Patrol down there said that there's at least 100,000 gotaways just since the first of the year, not in the last year. Just in the first 4 months of this year, and April's not even over yet. And I asked him, I said, are those people, a lot of those women who were forced across the border to evade the Border Patrol that are being pressed into sex trafficking, and these are your drug traffickers? And he said, yeah. And on top of that, we have interdicted 42 known or suspected terrorists. Okay, we picked up 42 known or suspected terrorists. And there are people coming across the border from 160 different countries that, while we were there, they were processing people from Cuba and Venezuela. So, well, I think this is a huge national security issue.
Is the problem this, and is it as simple as this, that it is Mayorkas, and we knew his thoughts on immigration heading into the Biden administration, but they are just so attached, so wedded to this ideology that, you know, the border is a suggestion or whatever. And furthermore, is there that kind of that incentive that really they want to push immigration because they think it will expand Democrat voter rolls? I mean, is it as simple as that, or do they really have some problems where they just don't have an answer for a lot of these security situations, and they just can't get the job done right?
No, I think there's something more dangerous than that. I'm at a point now, Jeff, where I think that some of these people want to see the dismantling of America. We left Washington yesterday, and before we walked out, after I walked off the floor from the last vote, I walked by a group of Democrats holding a press conference demanding the ending of Title 42. Okay? You now have Democrats that are coming over to our side saying, no, don't do away with Title 42. We've got 7,000 to 8,000 people per day coming across the border. It'll be 15,000 to 20,000 a day. And while they're doing all this, they announced yesterday that they got this new disinformation agency at the Department of Homeland Security. It defies description. It's impossible to understand what these people are thinking. That they think that the biggest issue facing the country is you might get some bad information on the internet. Yet we know we've picked up 42 known or suspected terrorists, and God knows how many people got across that weren't even detected.
Well, and let's move the ball down the field here. I mean, it looks like you guys are going to at least get control of the House of Representatives. How fast do you start moving here? What do you got to do first to even approach the Biden administration, who will have 2 years left to say you're either going to get this under control or blank? I mean, what are your options?
Well, it's like I told someone earlier. When the Democrats took the majority, we were all sworn in on January 3rd, and then they took the rest of the week off to try to figure out what they were going to do. When we take the majority and we're sworn in on January 3rd, 2023, we will immediately start filing bills. And one of those bills will be to force Homeland Security to secure our border. And, of course, it'll go to the president's desk, and it'll get vetoed. And that's obviously when the bill goes to the floor in the House and goes to the Senate, you're going to see where Democrats really stand. And you asked a while ago whether or not they think this is going to result in more people voting for them. Hispanics are coming over to the Republican side in waves, Jeff. While we were down there, there were two Democrat officials that I will not identify who privately came over and said they won't switch. This is not just the perception that the Hispanic community wants an open border. That is not the case at all. They're suffering like everybody else down there.
Joined by Congressman Gary Palmer of the 6th Congressional District here on the program. Congressman, I know you want to be careful with the question about the potential for impeachment or any of that if the Republicans get in charge over this issue. But do you think there are some constitutional questions that the Biden administration is not fulfilling its constitutional obligation here, and that is something, you know, that ought to be explored by in some way by Congress?
I do. I think Mayorkas should be impeached. I think he should be brought before a congressional committee, put under oath. I think records should be subpoenaed. I think there's a chance that other officials did. We had the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Becerra, before our committee 2 days ago, and I asked him about this new incentive for anti-racism that they want to apply to Medicare reimbursements to healthcare providers, which many people perceive that to be a form of reverse discrimination. And he denied even knowing about it. And he was asked yesterday in another hearing by Representative Jason Smith, and that once again, he denied it. Well, it's in the rule that they just finalized. So either he doesn't know what's going on in his own agency, or he lied to Congress. And then you had the questioning several members with Mayorkas over the last couple of days, particularly Jim Jordan and Ken Buck. And Ken Buck literally classified him as a traitor. Most people, when they think impeachment, they think of President Biden. But I think we're going to have to do a deep dive into how these agencies have been running and what the real agenda is.
Well, tell me this. There's other tools that that Congress can do. We see it with January 6th, right? Do we need to look at some kind of special committee or select committee or something like that when it comes to this issue in particular?
I think those select committees can be very political because we have committees of jurisdiction and every committee has a subcommittee on oversight and investigations. I am on the subcommittee on oversight and investigations on the Energy and Commerce Committee. So I personally don't think we need a select committee. We could have that if it's warranted, but I think there's so much that the committees of jurisdiction need to start doing their own oversight and investigations before we look into appointing a select committee. And every one of our chairmen, when we have the majority, will have subpoena power. So now, what people need to understand is that Congress doesn't have prosecutorial power. We can investigate, we can gather evidence, and we can refer charges, but we can't prosecute anybody, so the only real tool that you have in your available to you is impeachment.
Congressman, we're up against a break, but thanks for coming on and talking about this. I know a lot of people are really, really concerned about what's going on at the border, but it's good to get an update.
Well, appreciate you having me on, Jeff. You're very generous with your time.
Anytime you need to be on, just let us know. Congressman Gary Palmer, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Just full of sinners and believers. Learn that happiness on.